Welcome to the Catch the Fire Church podcast. We're so glad you're joining us, and we hope you're encouraged by this message.
Thank you, Jacob. I have to attest, I didn't even know that I liked pound cake until I had Miss Pat's pound cake. Quite literally, it is amazing. $100 a slice, yeah. Honestly, it's worth it if you've never tried it before. It's good. It's good, it's good, it's good. I'm going to ask you to stand again. Sit, stand, sit, stand, sit, stand. No, joking aside, I'm going to ask you to stand again. This is, if you're new here, we like to take a moment on our Sunday mornings and just pray into our tithes and our offerings. It's a beautiful moment. How many know you can outgive God? How many know God is really good? How many believe he's good even in the tithe? Anyone? Anyone willing to testify for that? And so we like to take a moment and we say that we're not simply giving to the Lord, we're actually returning to the Lord. That's intentional language because everything that we have already belonged to him. And so the tithe is simply saying, Lord, we acknowledge that all that we have is yours and we're going to return to you. And the scripture says that we can test him in the tithe to be found faithful. And so this is one of the only instances in scripture we are actually invited scripturally to test him. And so it's a great moment for us to activate our faith and actually pray into what God wants to do. I want to say, if you're not a part of this church family, please feel under no obligation to give today. If you want to sow in an offering, you can, but there's absolutely no obligation. Come on, let's just pray, everybody. Can you just thank the Lord for a minute in your own way for his generosity to you? Not just in finance, but in his faithfulness, in his mercy, in his grace, in his kindness. Come on, take a moment, engage your heart in this moment and say, Lord, I thank you for your generosity, Lord, for your immense kindness to me. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that you are faithful to see every seed and to water it, to put your son on it, Lord, that nothing goes unnoticed to you. And Lord, I thank you that you're kind and you love us and you're good. And God, I'm asking today, because your word says you would absolutely bless those who are returning to you what belongs to you, that you would be found faithful as your word says you are, and that you would pour out abundantly, generously for each and every person in this room in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You may be seated. If you're new here, my name is Aaron Ninneber. Along with my wife, we are the lead pastors. As Jacob said, it's great to be with you. I'm excited for this morning. I'm excited. I think I say that every week, but it's good. I'm just excited to be here every week. It's better than having a pastor that doesn't want to be here, right? But I am. I'm particularly excited today because we are kicking off our new sermon series that I feel like I've been anticipating and looking forward to today. And the title of this series is Pneuma, which for those of you who may not know, pneuma is the Greek word for spirit used in the New Testament. So we're going to be unpacking the Holy Spirit over the next 4 weeks. And I got a whoop whoop for the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about y'all, but I've just been filled with anticipation. Like at what God wants to do. How many know the Holy Spirit cannot be contained to simply a sermon series? So don't think we're saying that. This is just for now, and then we'll move on and go to something else. However, there is this sort of expectation and anticipation I've had, we're feeling like God is up to something in this body, in our city, in our nation. And so we just want to partner with heaven and say, God, do what you want to do. We want to say, God, Holy Spirit, come the way that you want. This is your church. You're the lead pastor. You're the senior leader. You're like, do whatever you want, Holy Spirit. You're it. You're everything. Come on, can you just tell him, Lord, do what you want to do? You know, just the other week, we met a young girl, probably about a month ago, actually. We met a young girl who, her family had started experiencing some spiritual warfare. And the scriptures say our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness, right? Y'all know that, you read that, hopefully. And she had been kind of going through this, and they began to, as a family, trying to stand on their authority as believers, but felt like something was missing in their authority. And it kind of took them on this dive into scripture, and she eventually, her and her family got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they began to declare those things to leave and saw those things leave from their life. And I don't know about you, but I'm like so encouraged by that. And I want to say whether you could get up here and preach this message yourself or whether this is new for you, to please don't close off your heart, but be open to whatever the Spirit wants to say to you. Amen. Believe He wants to do great things. Great things. So get ready. Tell your neighbor, get ready. Tell your other neighbor, get ready. The title of my message today is The Necessity of the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 1, Jesus says, "I have told you this so that you will not fall away." And I want to take a moment and understand the context, what Jesus is saying, "I have told you this." It's important. And so in John 15, leading up to this moment in John 16 that we're going to read, this is that beautiful moment in Scripture where Jesus is explaining to His disciples, "I am the vine and you are the branches. And my Father is the vine dresser," and how the Father, like a good vine dresser, He comes and He prunes us, right? And this beautiful moment explaining our union with Him, our union with God, and the love that He has for us, and the love of the Father, and the love of the Son. And then He goes on to say this to His disciples in John 15, 18. He says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours also." Has anyone ever in this room experienced persecution or hatred for your belief as a Christian? Jesus is wanting you to know that in this way you share in the sufferings and the experiences of Christ. That He was actually taking a moment to tell His disciples of the things to come, the reality of His needing to go to the cross to offer up His life, to 3 days later raise again, and to get up out of that grave and to ascend into heaven and the things that were to come. But he was explaining to them, needing them to know, in this way you share with me. In this way. We don't just share in the joy of Christ, but we also share in His sufferings. And it's for His sake that we experience that persecution, that hatred. And Jesus, he's just setting the stage for what is soon to be their experiences, right? In relation to that persecution, that hardship, that hatred, He says this in verse 26. He says, "But," everybody say, "but, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." Now He says this, and we can read this portion, John 16, verse 1. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you." He's letting them know of the things to come in order that their faith doesn't waver, in order that they don't stumble and fall away. How kind of Jesus, right? And we need this reminder often ourselves, don't we? As culture is looking more polarizing, as the world is making things more polarizing, as wherever you go, you can experience some sort of minor persecution, depending on where you are in the world. There's major and minor, right? There's a scale there for sure. But some sort of persecution and hatred for our beliefs as Christians. And Jesus is saying, like, don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. Don't be surprised by it. As I was thinking of this moment, I thought of my wife, Jess, who went to UNC Chapel Hill. Any Tar Heel fans in the room? Yeah. Got a few. It's a little bit better than second service. And who are you going to cheer for? The Blue Devils? Like, come on. The devil is the enemy. That's scriptural, okay? I'm kidding. I don't actually care. She went to UNC Chapel Hill. She had a great group of friends from high school and people she met. And as they were teaching all over through her university on tolerance, she eventually came to this place where she felt the need to speak to her friends, to actually confront them and say, guys, sometimes it feels like we were engaged and she was in university, which just there, she was an anomaly, right? And she loved Jesus. She loved her church. And she had to say, guys, often you preach this message of tolerance, but it feels like you're more tolerant of any other religion and belief. But because I'm like a straight Christian and I'm engaged like to a man, I receive hatred and persecution from y'all. To her friends, like, you've judged me for this reason. And it was actually a beautiful moment where her friends were open to receiving that little bit of kind rebuke and be like, I'm so sorry, you're right. And the irony is that often the tolerance is towards other religions, that even those religions don't hold to their atheistic beliefs. But Jesus is saying, don't get caught up in that. Don't miss the point. This is to be expected. Like, don't be alarmed. If they hated me, they'll hate you. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Are y'all with me? It's worth saying that, especially in our day and age of social media warriors and keyboard warriors and all that, that I'm not talking about the kind of persecution that you get for actually just being a rude and unkind believer. And being full of hatred and being dogmatic and being unkind. But I am talking about the genuine persecution that comes from simply believing in Christ, okay? But Jesus is saying, don't be alarmed and don't be discouraged. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, the fields are white. Like, that's the promise, that there is a world that even if they don't know it, even if they believe that they need nothing to do with Jesus, the truth is they need him. The truth is there is a hunger, an unseen hunger inside of them for the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And that's the good news. Reading on verse 5, Jesus says, but now I go away to him who sent me. Say, I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And then he says this, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. And then he says this, he closes it here. A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. There's some beautiful things, implications here in this portion of scripture. Firstly, that it was absolutely necessary for Jesus to leave. It was crucial. In order for the Spirit of God to descend, the Son of God had to ascend. The scriptures say it, that if I do not leave, my Father will not send the Helper. But if I go, my Father will send him to you. Like, it was necessary for Jesus to leave. Secondly, in Jesus leaving, brought such a necessary important component of our faith as believers. That in him going, as we just said, that did make way for the Spirit of God to descend. And Jesus doesn't just say, like, this isn't some neat little idea of it'll be nice for you, but he actually says that it'll be to your advantage. You will be better set up. You will be better suited. Life will be better if I leave you. Like, we need to put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples, those that he's speaking to in this moment, who are like, what do you mean, Jesus? They can barely comprehend the idea of Jesus leaving. They've almost lost the plot entirely that Jesus is going to die and everything that's about to happen and take place. And what do you mean you're going to go, Jesus? Like, it's like nails on a chalkboard, right? Like one of the worst sounds in the world, unequivocally. Everyone agrees, right? Ugh. And it's like, Jesus, we saw you raise the dead. Jesus, we were nobodies and you came to us and you said, come and follow me. And you gave my life purpose. You gave my life meaning. You gave me a family. You gave me a community. Jesus, I saw you heal the sick. Jesus, you empowered me to heal the sick. Like, what on earth could you possibly be talking about right now? And there's this moment of almost like they can't comprehend it, right? How could it be better? And then it's interesting to me that Jesus says this in verse 12. He says to them, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. In this warning of his departure, in this warning of his death and ultimate ascension, he's saying, guys, listen, the truth is I have so much more that I want to say to you, but like, y'all aren't ready for it. You can't bear it right now. You can't handle it. But don't worry. It's okay, for I'm sending the helper who will come and speak on my behalf. Are y'all with me? Are you getting this? He's saying, I am entrusting another to speak on my behalf. He'll take what is mine and declare it to you. And all that I have, the Father has, is also mine. And he's just explaining this beautiful picture of the unity of the Trinity, that they are not in any sense of competition or have different motives or different goals from one another, but they are unified as one. And that he will send the Spirit of Christ to come and speak on his behalf. And we need to understand this as believers. The necessity of the Holy Spirit in our Christian walks, in our Christian faith. Without it, we are missing out on such a crucial and important part. Romans 8:14 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Amen. Y'all hear that? Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Listen, Jesus was able to be with the 12. He was able to send them out. He was able to minister to the 70, minister to the crowds. But Jesus alone was confined to flesh, right? And in Jesus leaving, he had not just his disciples in mind in this moment, but I believe that Jesus had you and I today in mind in that moment. That thousands of years later, that 2,000 years later, we would be here and we would have the Spirit of Christ in us, speaking to us. The friendship that they had with Jesus, the way that they had the teacher, the way that they had their rabbi, the way that they had in that nearness and friendship, you have been given by his Spirit. All right, Antoine, come on. He has so much he wants to say. But he's like, y'all can't bear it right now. I will send you my Spirit. How could we possibly do the Christian walk without the Spirit of God? Why would we put ourselves through that hardship? Why would we try to do it in our own strength? Take on our own burdens and yokes when his yoke is easy and his burdens are light. The truth is, much of the church has reduced the Holy Spirit to some sort of eternal spiritual force that they'll acknowledge and they'll say, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit. I know the Holy Spirit, yeah. But they stop short at a relationship with Holy Spirit. They stop short of truly knowing him, of listening to his voice, of listening to his guiding, of listening to his leading and saying, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Where are you guiding me? Where are you taking me? I'm here to tell you, he is not just a presence. He is a person. The person of the Holy Spirit has been poured out for you and I. My friend John Shunker loves to not even say the Holy Spirit. He loves to just say Holy Spirit. Because it's a constant reminder to him of the reality that he is not a the, he is Holy Spirit, the person, my friend. And you have been given Holy Spirit, beautiful, beautiful Holy Spirit, to be in friendship and communion with. And I want us to make no mistake that he is, as the song goes, he is not just that little light of yours, this little light of mine. As Duncan loves to say, my father-in-law, he is not just a little light. He is a raging bushfire, I think you like to say. It's like he is the firepower of the believers. It is not some small thing that can be summed up in a children's church song. But it is actually an active part of our faith that we have to engage with, to be and to know him, to follow his leading. Are y'all with me? Hey, Yaraba. The truth is, many miss out on the Spirit, on having a relationship with the Spirit, because they're put off either by misunderstandings of Scripture or misrepresentations by people. And we can't afford to live like that. We can't afford to, as you will, throw the baby out with the bathwater. To put a lid on Holy Spirit and say, I'm going to reduce you to this internal little thing inside of me because of the ways that people have represented you. We have this like thing, we just want to say, God, if it's you, we want it all. Come on, can you make that your prayer? God, if it's you, I want it all. We're part of a movement of churches that were, our lives were changed. Your life was changed. You might not have realized it, but the fact that you're sitting here today, that story began a long time ago. And in 1994, when the Spirit of God was poured out in a little church near the Toronto airport, our founding pastors, John and Carol, they had that cry of their heart that even when I showed up as a teenager, like 10 plus years later, I was so attracted to of God, if it's you, we want it. God, if it's you, we want it. No matter what it looks like, no matter the package, no matter the reputation, we want it. Isn't that a beautiful place to be, where our hunger outweighs our preconceptions? Where our hunger actually outweighs our idol of reputation? Or our hunger outweighs our fear of man? That we actually are so hungry, we see it, the fear of man diminish because we're like, I must have you at any cost. So often in the church, I'm talking, you know, global church, and I'm not calling any one church out, but we want the fullness of God without any loss of reputation. And especially in the West, we want cultural acceptance and we want to kind of pick and choose. And we definitely want the helper. We all love the helper. We want the comforter. We all love the comforter. But do we want the power that he poured out in Acts 2 in the upper room? Do we want the anointing to fall? Do we want the whatever it is, the fullness of his Spirit to be poured out? Do you want it today? It's like, God, we want to see the signs and wonders. We want to see the miracles. We want to see young men prophesy and dream, and old men and all flesh, all may prophesy. Like, Lord, we want it. We want the gifts. We want to eagerly desire the gifts, as Paul says. We don't want to pick and choose, right? And I'm just confronted that, like, in order to say yes, sometimes we just need to lay down our reputations. Say, God, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm desperate. I want you. And you'll have those moments, if y'all have ever experienced this, but people are like, Christianity wasn't meant to be your whole personality. Why are you like this? Or why do you stop and pray for people and do that? In the grocery store, you're making people uncomfortable and it's weird. And why do you do this? And it's like, y'all don't get it. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. And he is not just something that I reduce and I push down and I ignore, but I'm actually led by the Spirit of God because I am a child of God. Like we must, that's the verse, that's Romans, I think it was 8:14. Like those who are led by the Spirit of God are called the children of God. We must be led by his Spirit. You know, when revival broke out in 1994, so many were casting all sorts of stones of judgment. And no doubt, I've been there myself. I was there, and I can say that there were some people that showed up and were maybe doing some weird stuff, okay? Don't worry, I'm going somewhere with this. But from what I saw, the leadership there was quick to handle some of that, and there was so much genuine fruit of the Holy Spirit and his outpouring that lives were changed, marriages were getting transformed, husbands were leaving addictions, like all sorts of things. One of my favorite stories that I love to just remind myself of because it confronts my flesh was a story where John Arnott was preaching. And throughout the entire message, just going to offend somebody in the room, but it's good. It kind of offends my flesh too, so don't worry. John Arnott is preaching, and the entire message, a woman is laughing through the entire thing. And I know I would have been among the crowd in that room probably because I love hearing the presentation of the Word of God. I would have probably been among the room that been like, can we just like move her to another room or shut her up or something? Like, I'm trying to hear the Word of God. But I love how John and Carol have modeled it for us, this spirit of, if it's you, God, we want it at any cost to our reputation and to the flesh of man. And so after he preached, they go up to this woman and they say, tell us what was happening. And she says, 10 years ago, I lost my son. Tragically lost my son, unexpectedly. And for the last 10 years, I haven't experienced joy once in any moment. And for the first time in 10 years, when I came and the Holy Spirit fell on me, I experienced joy for the first time in 10 years. Yeah, come on. Bring it on, Lord. We say, bring it on. But my flesh is confronted in moments like that. But I think the natural response of the heart must be, God, if it's you, we want it. God, protect us from anything that is not of you. And the truth is, anything that is not of him is going to wither and die eventually. But Lord, if it's you, we want it. Come, move in power. Proverbs 14:4 says, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. I've heard it said here of the Holy Spirit, would you rather have the neat manger or the power of the Holy Spirit and all the maybe mess that comes with it? Would you rather have a nice little service or would you rather have Holy Spirit show up? Holy Spirit every time, that's a good answer. It's so tempting, I think just because sometimes the way our flesh is, it's so tempting to want predictable, to want to structure church to be like a Starbucks or a McDonald's. And you know on a Sunday exactly what you're going to get, and you know you're going to be in and out quickly. And Starbucks and McDonald's, they got it down to a science. If you go to a Starbucks or a McDonald's, anywhere in the world, you're going to have the same experience. You're going to get a level 4 out of 10 hamburger everywhere in the world, no matter what. And maybe like a level, I don't know, 5.7 cup of coffee or something, wherever you go in the world. But it will always be up to that standard. and you there'll be no unpredictability. But I have seen too much to want to structure a church around the predictability of man. And that's a cry. Yeah, come on. That's a genuine cry of our hearts on this team. Lord, as you bring the increase, help us not to grow simply by the efforts of man and the predictability of man, but help us grow by your Spirit. Because if we labor, we labor in vain. But when you labor, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we're actually like leaning into God and saying, we need you to do something. Because we can preach a message and y'all can like it, but then you can go home and have no relationship with Holy Spirit. Do not reduce or be deceived that your relationship with Christ can be summed up on a Sunday morning experience. The invitation is that invitation of Jesus coming to his disciples and saying, come and follow me and be my friend. And Holy Spirit is here with you, in you, saying, commune with me, do life with me, be with me. Have a personal relationship with me. That's why we love to say he's the leader of the church. He's the pastor of this church. Gosh, don't put your hope in me, please, for the love of all things, do not. If I haven't failed you yet, just give me a little more time, all right? But I know one who can never fail you. I know one who is the most beautiful friend and who has everything you need. I want to take a few moments in these last few minutes, and I want to further demonstrate how necessary the Holy Spirit is for us as believers. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It'll also be on the screens. Proverbs 26, verse 4 through 5. Verse 4 says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So which is it? I've heard it. I've heard this verse laid out just like this for me before, so I'm offering y'all this today. Which is it? Either the Word of God is contradicting itself, which I don't believe is possible, or this is telling us that we actually need the Holy Spirit to even understand the Word of God. And we actually need the Holy Spirit to understand, using this example, when confronted with a fool, Holy Spirit, I know your word says either do answer or don't answer. Which is it right now in this moment? I need you, Holy Spirit. Help me understand what scripture to apply in this moment. Another moment. Turn with me to Acts 17. Y'all good? Whew. We're going to look at two back-to-back evangelistic missions of Paul. The first one we want to look at here is in Acts chapter 17, in verse 16. It says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. And down, jumping down for time, verse 34, he says, and some men joined him and believed. This is that moment in scripture where Paul sees this idol-filled city, and he calls out this idol he sees labeled the unknown God. And he uses this as his moment to preach the gospel and says, this unknown idol, that's Jesus. And it says that some joined and believed him. Now, I want to contrast this with the very next place, the very next city that Paul went to in Corinth. He says this about his time in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 through 5. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." We need to catch this. And both conceptually are powerful thoughts, that either Paul was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Well, actually, let me start here. Either Paul learned something from the two trips, and between them, he thought, I actually need a different method. Holy Spirit, like, what are you saying? Or Holy Spirit was confronting him, saying, that's not the way to do it, Paul. Or Paul understood from city to city. He was so in tune and in step with the Spirit and led by the Spirit that he understood in one city to go forward with reason and in another city to move forward in a demonstration of power. That the Apostle Paul was sensitive and listening to the voice of the Spirit of God. Are y'all with me? Like, why was he successful? I don't know, because he obeyed, because he was submitted to the leading, to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It is pride to think that we can be good Christians on our own, to think that we don't need the Spirit of God, to think that we don't need to be in relationship with him. You'll be a very mediocre Christian without his Spirit. I can promise you that. Even Jesus, Luke 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led, somebody say led, by the Spirit in the wilderness. Even Jesus himself submitted to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Who are we to think that we can do this without him? So if you walk away with anything today, I pray that it's a renewed sense of the need and the necessity for his Spirit in your life. The truth is, in order to be an effective witness, you need the Spirit. In order to be a good employee, you need the Spirit. In order to walk the narrow road of faith and belief in Jesus, you need the Spirit. In order to be a good business owner, you need the Spirit. In order to be a parent, you need the Spirit. In order to be X, Y, and Z, enter in whatever is your circumstance, you need the Spirit. He is the sustenance that sustains us. He is the rock our life is built upon. He is the voice that guides us. He is the life that gives us strength. He is the nourishment that gives us meaning. He is everything. He is everything. We are invited into genuine encounter and relationship with the Spirit of God as believers. That's not just some sort of like hokey, weird, new agey thing, but it's actually relationship with the person, Holy Spirit. And when you encounter him, everything changes. Everything changes. Jess preached a beautiful message on Peter. Peter, the denier. Peter, the one who betrayed. Peter, the one who struggled to believe and understand. And how he, as in denying his rabbi, was rejected from the fold in his mind. But Jesus made a point of seeking him out and restoring him to relationship and saying, Peter, upon you, this rock, I will build my church. But it wasn't until the moment in the upper room when Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. And Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was filled with boldness. And now that same Peter, the denier, the betrayer, the afraid, the one who didn't get it, couldn't comprehend, couldn't understand, was the very one who got up in the midst of the crowds who were mocking them, saying they must be drunk, and he's the one preaching. And it says in the Word of God that thousands were saved. But he was transformed through an encounter with the Spirit. We need it. I don't want to go through the motions and curate my life in such a particular way of safety and comfort that I never have need of him. It's like, no, Lord, I need you in every moment, in every way. And if I ever think that I can do it on my own, geez, just have a kid. You'll be surprised. That's just my parent advice there in the room. And you're like, I used to think I was a pretty good person before having kids. And now I'm like, God, I need you. I need your patience. I need your kindness. I need all the fruit I can get. Give me the fruit. But it's not just in that. Obviously, it's funny, but it's in all things, in all ways. We need his Spirit. We need to be led by his Spirit. So in the coming weeks, we're going to be unpacking more about who he is. His names, his attributes, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how he empowers us, all sorts of things. But if I could get you to grab onto anything today, it's to either be reminded or to know, maybe for the first time, that we cannot do this without his Spirit. That you have been given the Spirit of God to enter into relationship with him and live life, not on your own, but in the nearness as if Jesus was in the flesh with you. To do it any other way is to run the race that Paul talks about with like 100-pound weight minimum tied around your waist. I do not recommend it. And I want to say this. I want to say this for the room as we come into this week, or these weeks, these coming weeks. If it's genuine, we want it. I want to say, kind of have a pastoral moment and say, that we're not into any sort of faking it. I don't even know why somebody came up with the term courtesy fall. I don't think that's godly at all. As if that person is so, I don't know, their pride is so on the line, you need to fall for that person or that person on the ministry team or whatever it is. Like, we don't want anything that is fake. God doesn't need us to fake it. But if your legs can't hold you up and you encounter the power of God, I remember carrying my dad out. He went to watch my son's soccer game. But I remember carrying my dad out of a meeting as a teenager because he came under such power of God. And so I'm also saying on the flip side, whatever it is, God, whatever it looks like, whatever the reputation, I cast that aside. We want it. We want it. We want your Spirit in the fullness. Would you stand with me? I felt, as I prepared for today, as I was taking time with the Lord, that today was kind of preparing the soil of our hearts, if you will. So I'm going to ask that you just take a moment and begin to prepare the soil of your hearts. I believe the Lord wants to do incredible things. I believe we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles. And like, God is doing something all across the earth, and we're just one piece of it. But man, are we excited to be a piece of it. And man, do we believe that little piece of ours, he's going to pour out greatly. And so in your own way, in your own heart, just take a moment. I felt the Lord remind me in first service that we might have been standoffish to the Spirit of God because of pride. We might have been standoffish to the Spirit of God because of fear of man. But I want you to just make that your simple prayer this morning. Lord, if it's you, I want it. If it's you, I open myself up. If it's there in Scripture and I see it here, you come in power, I want it. He's not going to come in and contradict anything he said in the Word. but just say, Lord, make that your prayer right now. Come on, in your own way, just let your hunger arise for a moment. In coming weeks, we'll talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in fire. But I feel there's just an invitation this morning for the nearness and the friendship of Holy Spirit. And I'm going to invite our ministry team up. And I just want to say before I close, if you want to go deeper in your relationship with the Holy Spirit and you want somebody to partner with you, to pray with you, we have a team that would love to pray with you. That would love to just impart more of His presence on you. Just take a moment, if you would, and place a hand on your heart. And say, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me? Holy Spirit, would you guide me? Holy Spirit, would you lead me? You might even just need to repent. Say, Holy Spirit, I repent for any way that I have pushed you away. Any way that I have been afraid of what you might say. And I've shut my ears to you. I've tuned to a different frequency. Would you forgive me? I open myself up again to your leading, to your guiding. Do what you want. Jesus, I ask for these coming weeks that you would move powerfully. I know you want to. I'm just going to partner with you, but that you would move powerfully. That those that have never experienced your gifts would experience them. Those that have never experienced a baptism of fire would experience that upper room baptism of your fire. Lord, I ask that we would never be the same. Help us to lose our reputations as we fall more and more madly in love with you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. There are so many opportunities to grow, connect, and be encouraged. To learn more, visit ctfraleigh.com and follow us on social media. Thank you so much for being part of the family. We are so thankful for you.